should have a quick message for you. Hello. It is quick and powerful. It's like a two-edged sword, so we're going to use it in that way today. Sermon title, if you're taking notes here, these signs are written. All right, these signs are written. Here we go. John, if you go to the Gospel of John, verse 20, we'll be starting, starting in verse 30. Chapter 20, starting in verse 30. If you don't have your Bibles, we do have it up here. We will be flipping through the Gospels, each Gospel, so get ready. John, chapter 20, verse 30. And many other signs, truly, did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, just touch this message, God, and touch the hearts of everyone that hears it here and online. Oh, Jesus, do you want to speak to us today? Jesus, do you want to testify of these eyewitness accounts, these signs today? Lord, I pray that you prick every heart, that they would draw close to you, that they would humble themselves under the hand of Almighty God. Lord, you say that you resist and reject the proud, but you draw near to the humble and the lowly in heart, the brokenhearted, and the contrite spirit. Do that today, Jesus, as we recognize, remember, glorify your resurrection. In Jesus' mighty name. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glad you're here this morning. That's a wonderful noise. But these were written. And so what I am about to do is take you through the account of the resurrection. Okay, you will see the resurrection in every gospel, but it's from four different perspectives. So I've chosen the perspectives that I want you to hear today. I chose the signs that I want you to see and hear today in hopes that you might believe in his name. We're going to start off with Matthew 27, starting in verse 62. Matthew 27, starting in verse 62. This is immediately following the death of Jesus on the cross. Nicodemus takes his body and buries it. And this is what happened immediately after. Now the next day that followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember. This is funny because the disciples could not even remember. But the Pharisees who put Jesus on the cross could remember. I find that very interesting. Religious people are smart, but they still hate Jesus. It's really funny. Disciples are kind of like sheep, but we love Jesus, right? I say we could get it. We always need a shepherd to help us, don't we? but he loves to. So, saying, sir, we remember that that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, after 3 days, I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day. That means seal it. Lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So that the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate said unto them, you have a watch. Go your way. Make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Theologians theorize that this watch was actually around 20 Roman soldiers, not just a couple. There's probably about 20 Roman soldiers there. Now we'll move on to the next chapter here, Matthew 28, verse 1. They knew it was coming. The scribes and the Pharisees, Sadducees, they knew it. They were afraid of what would happen. But they could not stop. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to draw to dawn toward the first day of the week, that's why we worship on Sunday, praise God. If I can find my place. Okay, there we go. Came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. I like that. He's just going to roll it and set on it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow, and the fear of him the keepers did shake and become as dead men. Those were the Roman soldiers there. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said.
Amen.
Come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Shall ye see him? Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Now, if you were going to give a reliable eyewitness account, as Jewish men would, you would never allow women to be the first person to see Jesus. This is what atheists and agnostics and unbelievers will say. That wouldn't make any sense. It would not make any sense to Jewish culture. If you really wanted to prove that Jesus was real, that this is a true eyewitness account, you would not have added that in there if you were trying to just make it up. It wouldn't make sense in Jewish culture. I believe Jesus did this very specifically to make it authentic. We were going over this in Bible study. To make it real. To make sure you know this is not of the ordinary. This is very out of the ordinary. If somebody was going to make this up, this would not make sense for Jesus to reveal himself to women first. Oh, but he loved women, didn't he? He loved the woman at the well. He loved his mama. He loved Mary Magdalene. Jesus had many women followers, and he chose them to reveal himself first. You should feel blessed, ladies. That's wonderful. Picking back up in verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money to the soldiers, saying, save ye his disciples. See, this is what they said. His disciples are going to come and steal him away. But when the soldiers gave the honest account of what happened, they had to make up a lie. And I promise you, every thought in your head that is telling you there is no way that Jesus is real is that same lie. It's from the father of lies who has been lying from the beginning. They had to make up a lie. Their worst fears have just come to pass. Jesus is missing. The seal, a seal, what they did, they rolled it, they drilled a hole, and they put iron through the hole into the wall of the tomb and on the stone, through the stone, into the tomb wall. So there was no way anybody could roll this thing away. But the angel of the Lord came, and he just rolled it away and sat on it, didn't he? And Jesus was missing. Their worst fears had come to pass. Give them money. They'll do it for money. Everybody will do something for money. Give them large amounts of money. Let's see here. And say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure him. We'll keep you safe. Don't worry. Just tell this lie. That's what the devil will tell you when you lie to yourself. I'll keep you safe. I'll secure you. Don't worry. You don't have to believe in Jesus. You don't have to believe that someone is in ultimate control, that someone will judge you when you stop breathing. You will stand. You don't have to believe. I'll secure you. Hell doesn't exist. I'll secure you. Don't worry about it. It's the same old lie. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. And they're still saying. Now I'm going to go, this is where I said we're going to go through the Gospels, and I'm going to give you the account, the ones that I felt led to show you. Go to Luke 24, verse 36. Luke 24, verse 36, these are all in chronological order, so this is the order of the events, but it doesn't have every event. Because there's a lot, I could not fit that in a timely sermon. I would love to. But I'm on track. I'm doing good. Hallelujah. Luke 24, verse 36. And they thus spake, Jesus himself. Okay, so I got to give you a little context there. He's already appeared to the disciples once. He appeared to the women. Then he met the disciples in Galilee. This is the second time he appears to the disciples. The first time, Thomas was not there. So he appeared again. This is this account. Okay, just putting you in context. This is the second time he's appeared to his disciples. And as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, saying, peace be unto you. If you don't know what happened, he just appeared. When Jesus resurrected, he declared that he had a glorified body, one which he will give you as well upon his return.
Amen.
A body that will never die. A body that will never have sickness. A body that is not laden with the condemnation of the curse. It's free from the curse, free from any law, which is why he does not have to obey the laws of physics here. He appeared in the room. I would have been terrified. I would have ran. Ooh, that freaked me out. But then, and look what happened. He said, "Peace be unto you." He always has to say peace because it's terrifying when you're around the Lord or his angels. That's it, all through Scripture. And watch. But they were terrified and frightened. And suppose they had seen a spirit. This must be a spirit. This is the ghost of Jesus. It can't be the Lord himself. We watched him die agonizingly. Now I'm going to tell you, for any agnostics and atheists, this is a historical fact. Even the best historical atheists will tell you the narrative, the literary style, it's historical narrative. It's not once upon a time in the land of Nod. It is a place. This is Jesus of Nazareth in Galilee. They're in Jerusalem. It's the Roman Empire. Over 32 verified characters archaeologically in the New Testament. Over 70 in the Old Testament. History is doing nothing but proving the story of the Bible, the characters in it, and the New Testament, right? Old and New. It's not an argument anymore of if Jesus was here. The only argument you have to deal with is, was his claims to be the Son of God true or not? He was a man. He was here. Look it up. It's all there. But they won't show you that. They want you to believe the same old lie. It must be a spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me. See, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, and ye see me have, as you see me have." And when they had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Now these are the only, in Jesus' glorified body, the wounds remain. He makes it very clear, his wounds remain. Because it's those wounds that happened on that cross that paid for your atonement. We will always remember in eternity what Jesus did, because he will always have those wounds, even in his glorified body. They don't affect him, but you can see them. They are there. Now, I'm going to interject into this story the same thing that happened. This is the same moment. He appears and he says, "Peace be unto you," but I'm going to interject John's perspective. Remember, four Gospels, four disciples, four different perspectives. Eyewitness accounts cannot be exactly the same. Or they're probably a lie. They must be different. Ask a detective. If something matches up exactly, word for word, it's a lie. It has to have a little variation, a little different perspective. That's what makes it authentic. Now, nothing contradicts. It's just a different perspective. Luke didn't mention Thomas. John did, which is why I'm adding it in. It's the same thing. John 20, verse 27. So, again, he was showing him his hands and his feet. And then this is when this happens. "Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger." Because previously Thomas had said, "I will not believe." Because, see, he missed the first appearance of Jesus. He missed it. He wasn't there. Who knows where he was. So if you've missed Jesus in your life, it's okay. He's going to show up again. Okay? And he's going to say, "Look at the evidence." So Thomas told the rest of the disciples in this story, he would not believe unless he put his hands, his fingers, in his hands, in his wounds, and in his side. So Jesus took him up on his offer. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. This is where he talks about y'all. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. We don't get to physically see Jesus in the flesh until his return. We must believe on eyewitness accounts. 4,700 first century documentations of an eyewitness account that Jesus rose from the dead. We have to believe that. And if we're going by historicity, that's the most historical account documented in history. There's not one that even comes close to that much first century manuscript and documentation. It's not even close. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. Now we're going to jump right back into Luke, okay? Luke 24, we're picking the story right back up. It goes right in line. Luke 24, verse 41. Oh, we're doing well. Praise God. And while they yet believe not for joy, which is a way of saying they were full of joy. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, and he said unto them, have you any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and he did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. You go into the Old Testament, it is all concerning Jesus, the prophecy about the Messiah to come. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scripture. You can't understand this book unless you have the Spirit of God. Amen. You repent and put your faith in Jesus, He will give you that Spirit of God. Yes. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, that repentance turn away from your sin. Doesn't mean be perfect. It means, God, help me with my issues. I need you. Forgive me for breaking your laws. Help me be obedient to them. That's what repentance is. And remission of sins, forgiveness, and taking away. Behold, the Lamb of God that comes to take away the sin of the world should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. It is an historical narrative of an eyewitness account. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in Jerusalem, in the city of Jerusalem, until you be endued with power. And this is where it goes from religion into an authentic, genuine relationship with Jesus, when you get the power of God and it begins to transform your life. Amen. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead, He will give to you. And this is what makes you brand new, a new creation in Christ Jesus. It makes all the difference. It's the only way to believe, to bring an atheist, a Christian mocker, a scoffer, a God hater to Christ. You talking about me? No, I'm talking about myself. That's who I was. That's who I was. How am I different? By the power of the Holy Ghost. That's His promise. I didn't deserve it. But when I repented and put my faith in Him, He gave it to me anyways. Hallelujah. Oh man, we're almost there. Going back to verse 50. And He led them out as far as to Bethany. And He lifted up His hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while He blessed him, He was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. And I'd be doing the same thing if I saw all that. Woo! That's a miracle. That's what movies are made on. He's the first Superman. He just flew up into heaven. Are you kidding me? I've never seen such a thing. He rose from the dead. He's alive with wounds in His hand. He can appear and disappear. He's not a spirit because He can eat. He can make fish fill up the nets. He can disguise Himself where I can walk with Him miles until we get there. And the moment we break bread, I just know it's Him. And then He disappears. This was the most incredible thing they had ever seen. That's why you're still hearing about it today. Every other religion talks about Jesus. But Jesus talks about no one but Himself. You ever think of that? He was a good teacher and a good man. Buddha, Muhammad, Hindus, say it too, Dalai Lama. But only Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get unto the Father except He come through me. There is no other way. He is the door. That's right. You must enter in through faith in Him and repentance from your sin. And then we jump back to the original verse. Right? You might say, where are we going with this? John 20, verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written. These signs are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing you might have life through His name. That means eternal life. Life forever with Him. I want to give you a brief story. Just a couple more scriptures and then we'll close. This happened just yesterday. I actually called back and told him. Oh, he called me. I was like, oh, I gotta go. Donna had the BB gun out. Oh yeah, it's a good one. And I think I'm in the kitchen and all I hear is whoosh, whoosh. And I'm thinking, did she spill all her bracelet beads? What is going on? And I go over there. We'll talk about this council. And I had the front door was open and the glass door is shattered. She didn't know it was loaded and she was about 2 feet away and just popped that BB off. BBs will shatter glass doors. Just letting you know. It is, because I had the front door open, it is in the house, it is out on the front porch. And Dinah, I say, what is going on? And I see Dinah's little shadow take off. Tyler is also on the front porch, and he is jaw is on the floor. I said, Dinah, get back here! She'd already went around the corner. Whew, I'm gonna try to get to this. So, she ran into the woods. Terrified of the consequences for making a mistake. I didn't know where she went. Tyler, where did your sister go? I think she went this way, and then I asked him later, and then she went that way. So, I didn't know where Dinah was. I was calling her name on the wood line here. No reply. She told me later, she's come walking down the road. She come sit up on the porch. I cleaned her mess up. I knew if I went looking for her, she's quick, she's fast, she's small. I wasn't gonna find her in these big woods. So I just waited and prayed. I was really getting worried. She was gone for a little bit. But I cleaned up all the glass. And just as I was finishing, here she came. Worried, fear in her eyes. This point, I'm not mad. I'm worried. Relieved that I see her coming back. I said, baby, where'd you go? She said, God let this happen. So I could tell this today. I thought, oh, I'm gonna preach this. She said, I got lost, Daddy. I went down in the woods and I knew I was going. I turned the wrong way. Responsibility for our mistakes. As long as you're humble and it's an accident, my anger will not stay. It will dissipate. I will show you mercy and grace. It might still have a consequence. But don't ever leave me, baby. You don't ever have to do that again. She ended up making her way up and come out on the road up here. And I just held her in my hands. I thought it was so vivid that she had gotten lost. And I said, did you hear me call your name, Dinah? She said, I heard you. But then I got too far away and I couldn't hear you no more. I thought, God, it's got Jesus written all over it. If you don't know Jesus, if you don't believe in Jesus, that's what Scripture says. Paul says it, 2 Corinthians 3:3, and we're closing here. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Lost is not a bad word. It just means you're just like Dinah in the woods. You're just lost. Luke 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him Listen who it was. All the publicans and sinners for to hear. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners, and he eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over 99 sinners that repent, more than over one sinner that repent, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. And we'll finish with this, and you can play some music. Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus today, you heard about it, but you ain't got the Holy Ghost. You ain't got the Spirit of God. It says, Mark 1:16 says, repent and believe the gospel. We do that in faith. He gives us His Spirit and He helps us. And He loves us. Just like I love Donna. Sometimes He runs after us. Sometimes He waits. You see the prodigal son. He didn't go run. He just waited. That's what I did that time. I just, oh Lord, bring her back. Altars are open if you'd like to come and pray a prayer of repentance and faith. I guarantee you Jesus will meet you here. 100%. He's not a liar. And that's what He did for me. I'm not going to wait long. We've got some other things we've got to do. But this time is for you if that's you. If you're lost. The gospel's been hid to you through the years. For one reason or another. It's not hidden now. I just told it to you. It's good news. God wants to receive you, love you, save you, fill you with His Spirit that rose Him from the grave. You just can't. You can't deny the presence of Jesus who's here today.